Patrick Kingsley is the Guardian's new man in Cairo. Patrick, you've had a hell of a baptism of fire since arriving last week. Mohamed Morsi's just declared a state of emergency. What's been the response?
Well, the general reaction seems to be that, A, it is impossible to enforce because, in a way, that area has been under a state of emergency for several days and the government hasn't been able to bring it under control thus far. And, you know, immediately after the announcement last night, there were protests in Ismailia. It's too early to say today whether there'll be the same violence, the same level of violence that we saw over the weekend. But, I mean, it seems extremely likely, and commentators have been saying that the military presence and the emergency law is only going to exacerbate the situation because it's an uncomfortable reminder of the Mubarak era. And Heba Mereyef, who's the Human Rights Watch chief in Cairo, was worried that it would be a carte blanche for the military to sort of react with impunity. There's also a great deal of cynicism from the opposition about the, how long it's taken to react to the situation. Morsi tweeted on Friday, which was one of the first days of unrest in Egypt, and then there was silence from him until Sunday. I was speaking to Khaled Daoud, who's one of the opposition spokesmen, last night, and he was just saying, you know, why is it taking so long for the government to react?
Morsi's offered a dialogue with the opposition, but leading members appear sort of sceptical about the offer. What's likely to happen?
Well, last night I was speaking to the opposition spokesman. He was very cynical about the offer because in his mind it's just yet another offer of meaningless dialogue that hasn't been sincere in the past. And, you know, he was saying we don't even know who's going to the talks, what the agenda will be, and whether what is decided will actually be implemented in the future. But just before our phone call today, I was speaking to him again, and he was at that very moment going into the talks. So clearly they are happening. Too early to say whether they are meaningful or not.
And on Saturday, the opposition made some fairly ambitious demands, including changes to the constitution and calls for a national government. How are they going down?
Well, I think that there was a reaction of despair among even, you know, the liberal supporters of the opposition. I think people felt those demands were quite naive. They involved basically wiping out the last 6 months of Egypt's political history, going, you know, getting rid of the Shura Council, which is the upper chamber in parliament, and wiping clean the new constitution, and creating a new coalition government. And I think people just felt they were extremely unrealistic demands and politically naive. I think people are immensely frustrated with the Muslim Brotherhood, but equally they feel the opposition isn't doing a great job of opposing them.
Now, just listening to the Arabist podcast this morning, it suggested that Egypt is becoming ungovernable. What are your first impressions?
As I look outside my window right now, you know, you've got gas going off in Tahrir Square and people throwing stones, and you know, large parts of the centre of Cairo have been blocked off. At the same time, you know, a lot of Cairo is very quiet, and life goes on in a lot of other places. But I was talking to a prominent political commentator here last night, Khalid Fermi, and he was saying, you know, there are basically three ruling factions in Egypt. There's there's the Brotherhood, there's the police, and then there's the military. And the Brotherhood hasn't really got control of the other two, which makes governing extremely difficult. The court decision on Saturday that sentenced to death 21 Port Said football supporters to death was a very good example of just how difficult it is to govern here. Everyone knew that if the Port Said supporters were sentenced to death, everyone in Port Said would kick off, as they did. 33 people would die in riots on Saturday, more than had been sentenced to death in the first place. Alternatively, if the court had let them off, in Cairo, we would have seen, you know, perhaps even worse violence, because the Cairo ultras all week had been threatening to cause mayhem. And in fact, on Wednesday, they gave a little taste of what we might expect by shutting down the underground network in parts and a lot of the roads in central Cairo. So that's just one example of how, for example, the judiciary is having to bear in mind the violence that could be caused by decisions they make in a court, which does, in a way, make things pretty ungovernable.
Okay, Patrick, thanks very much.
Thank you, Matt.